Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, last week we began a stewardship series, and we talked about being good stewards of our work, the jobs that God gives us. Today I'd like to talk with you about being good stewards of your bodies. That's right, of the body. And I think this is important for us to talk about because we live in a culture that doesn't teach us rightly about our bodies. It doesn't teach us rightly about how to use our bodies. It doesn't teach us rightly about how to take care of our bodies. It doesn't teach us rightly about how to value our bodies. And I think especially about when I see young people out there in their 20s, college, and they're partying wild all night. They're drinking beer all night. They're living on Dorita chips and cold pizza. And you know what? When you're 20, you can still get up and win the race the next day. You try this when you get a few years older, and you realize the decisions that you make about your body ultimately make you, and more so the older you get. So today, I'd really like to talk with you about being good stewards of our bodies at every age. For God's got a lot of important things to tell us about our bodies. So let's listen up and see what God would teach us through his word. First thing I'd like to do with you today is to destroy. I'd like to destroy a wrong idea that's out there in the minds of many Christians. And the wrong idea goes like this, that the body isn't really so important. We have this idea, many Christians do at least, that what's important is spiritual things. Things like studying the Bible and reading God's word, that's important. Prayer is important. Going to church is important. But what we do with our bodies is really not so important. And this is a wrong idea that's out there. It's been here ever since the early church. And it's related to a heresy called Gnosticism, where the Gnostics, among other things, believed that the physical world, the flesh and such, was evil. And that the spiritual world was good. Thus, our bodies were bad, but our spirits were good. And I think that this has somewhat carried over into the minds of some Christians even today. And I'll give you an example. You meet a young Christian, and he says something like this. I'm going to go out there and sell myself out totally for Jesus. I'm going to burn myself out for Jesus. I'm going to work for him. I'm going to pray all the time. I'm going to study the scriptures all the time. I'm going to get up more early in the morning. I'm going to go late to bed. And I'm going to work and work and work. I'm going to burn myself out for Jesus. You know what happens to people like this? Answer is, they burn themselves out for Jesus. After a little while of all this work, they can become exhausted. They become tired. They get into ill health. They become bedridden. And then they become of no use, really, to the Lord. Why? Because they disregarded the body. Now, it's true, our body is a tent in which our spirit lives, but it is also us. Jesus could say, I thirst. He was talking about his body. I thirst. The body is also us, while being also a tent. And it's very important. So next, I want to prove to you, if I may, if I can, that God gives great value to our bodies. Do you think I can prove that? Well, let's see. Genesis. Let's start there. We read in Genesis 2. It says, In the day that the Lord God created the heavens and the earth, there was no plant of the field yet in the earth, no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord hadn't caused it to rain, etc. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Our bodies, your body, was created by God. Whatever God makes is good, and it's holy. And God says in Genesis 1:31, God looked at all these things, and behold, it was very good. And so our body's good. When Adam and Eve sinned, they misused their body, and they saw their nakedness. What did God do for their bodies? He covered their shame with the skins of animals. He honored their body even after they sinned on their way out of Eden. And then we see in the Old Testament, check this out. This is pretty neat. In the Old Testament, Leviticus, who can approach the Lord's holy place among the Levites. The Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, none of your descendants throughout their generations who has a blemish may approach to offer the bread of his God. For no one who has a blemish shall draw near, a man who is blind or lame, or one who has a mutilated face, or a limb too long, or a man who had an injured foot, or an injured hand, or a hunchback, or a dwarf, or a man with a defect in his sight, or an itching disease, or scabs, or crushed testicles. No man of the descendants of Aaron, the priest, who has a blemish, shall come near to offer the Lord's offering by fire. Since he has a blemish, he shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. Then it says, he may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy things and of the holy and the most holy things, but he shall not come near the veil or approach the altar because he is a blemish, that he may not profane my sanctuaries. So God says that in order to approach him in the Levitical priesthood, we got to have a pure and perfect body, which is foreshadowing the fact that one day your bodies are going to be made perfect in order to approach God in the kingdom to come. Jesus came when we had broken our bodies. Anybody feel like their body is perfect today? Yikes! A lot of times we feel like our bodies are all messed up. You know what? Jesus came. When he came, what did he do? It says, he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity among the people. So his fame spread through all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Yes, he healed them all. So Jesus came. When he came, he didn't just tend for your soul. He didn't just tend your mind or spirit. He also came to take care of your bodies. It's very important to God. Why shouldn't we sleep with prostitutes? Good question, huh? Let's check this one out. 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, shun sexual immorality. Every other sin which a man commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral man sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Great value. Great value to God. Moreover, we have this promise in terms of the resurrection. Paul says it's the whole hope in which we're saved. It concerns the body. He says we know that the whole creation, Romans 8, has been groaning in travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, that our bodies are going to be raised up bodily on the last day when our Lord comes. He says, in this hope you were saved. And one more. The apostles, what did they say about health? Were they concerned about it? Paul says in Philippians 2, Epaphroditus, a friend of his, was ill. He was near to death, but God had mercy on him and healed him, lest, Paul says, I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul earnestly desired the health of his friend. James says, is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over them that the guy may be healed. James was earnestly interested in the health of his people, bodily health. And I love this one of my favorites. John in 3 John 2 says to Gaius, whom I love in the truth, he says, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in health, for I know it's well with your soul. So the apostles were interested in the physical well-being and health of their people. God is interested in your physical health and well-being, and isn't that wonderful? What great value God gives to your body. So will you simply, have I proven the point? No, we didn't have a children's sermon today. I can go a lot longer, okay? No. Okay, so God is interested very much, not only in your souls, which he is interested in for sure, but also in your bodies. So our health's important to God. But next, why is it important to us? Why is our health important personally? I'd like to share you the story of a guy named Robert Murray McShane. This guy was a Scottish preacher evangelist in the 1840s, revival in England and Scotland. And this guy was on fire for the Lord. He was preaching and people were coming to faith through him in great droves. And He worked, and he worked, and he worked, until he became sick and exhausted. And at the end of his life, he was quoted as saying this: God gave me a great message to deliver to the people, and he gave me a great horse to deliver it on, but alas, I've killed the horse. He spoke of the horse of his body. He couldn't ride it anymore, and so the message couldn't go out from him. He'd killed his body through his work. And I'll tell you, if you don't care for your body, you're going to be of no use to the Lord eventually. We got to take care of our bodies. We got to understand this. Our spirits, our souls, and our bodies are all interconnected while we're on this earth, and they affect each other. How your body is affects, a lot of times, your spirit. For example, if you have a healthy body, and that likely leads to a happy and joyful heart. If you have a happy and joyful heart, this leads to a shining and glowing countenance, and it's so much easier to share the light of Christ with other people, isn't it? When you're healthy. Likewise, when your body is down, your spirit often gets down in the dumps. How about this one? Which is easier to avoid temptations? When you're feeling rested, full of energy, and sharp? Or when you're sad, tired, exhausted, and depressed? Your body, if your body is in poor health, sometimes it's more difficult, mostly, to resist temptation. And I'll tell you something, though. We all do get sick. We're never going to be perfect in this life. And God gives us grace, even when we are sick, even when we are weak. He says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He comforts us. He's with us in our sicknesses. He helps us. He bears them with us. And he's delighting to one day restore to us perfect health. But I'll say this also. Wouldn't it be better in your life to be healthy? Wouldn't you prefer that? Well, so our bodies, minds, and souls are connected. So what should we do? God wants us to be good stewards of our bodies. What should we do to be good stewards of our bodies? Well, we need a proper view of our bodies. We need a proper use of our bodies. And we need a proper care of our bodies. And God, guess what? Teaches us all these things in his word. You know, it's like you go out and buy a car. And God not only gives you the car to ride in and go around here and there, but he also gives you a manual on how to take good care of this car so that it'll run well for you for many years to come. If I pour diesel into a gasoline engine, it ain't going to work very well. So God teaches us about our bodies. So let's understand a little bit more. First, about our proper view of the body. What do you have to do to have a proper view of the body? Namely, agree with God. Agree. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Can you say that right now? My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is of great value, so you ought to treat it as such. Secondly, we ought to have a proper use of our body. Namely, we ought to devote it to the Lord's service. You know what Paul says about this in Romans 12? He says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So our bodies ought to be instruments of righteousness. They ought to be out there to speak the words of God, our kindness to others. Our hands ought to be ministering to people, our feet walking in the ways of goodness and to the help of others. And we use our bodies well. We care. We use them to care for the souls, the minds, and the bodies of other people. Listen to what James the Apostle says in James chapter 2. James says, what does it profit, my brethren? What's the benefit if a man says he has faith and he doesn't have works? If a brother or sister is ill-clad and he's in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what's the profit? What is the benefit of that, he says? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. We use our bodies to help other people's bodies, to clothe them, to feed them, and to nourish their souls, and to help their minds and their spirits, which are important, certainly, in superabundant ways as well. But we help their bodies. So a proper view of our bodies, a proper use of our bodies, and thirdly, and I want to spend a little time on this today, a proper care of our bodies. How can you be healthy physically? Do you know what? God has a lot of things that he wants to tell you about that in his word that we often just don't study or that we overlook. How can we have a healthier body? Not going to be perfect, but how can it be healthier in your life? Well, first thing, as I said before, our spirits, minds, and souls, and bodies, we're all connected. And so to have a healthier body, the first and best thing for you to do is to have a healthy inside. It says in the scriptures, Proverbs 12, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Also says in Proverbs 14, a tranquil mind gives life to the flesh, but passion makes the bones rot. Makes bones rot. Do you know what? If you have a grudge, for example, if you have a sin, if you have a something unconfessed in your life, or if you're not willing to forgive someone, you know what that's like? That's like Superman himself standing there holding kryptonite and saying, I will keep it, my precious, and holding that kryptonite close to his belly, he's going to get sick and die. We got to tend the insides of ourselves, because when you have a tranquil, peaceful mind, you have a health to the bones. But when you have passion of anger or of sin or unconfessed sin, it makes your bones rot. That's why David says, Psalm 38, verse 3 and following, there's no soundness in my flesh, there's no health in my bones, for my iniquities have gone over my head, and they weigh like a burden too heavy for me. How about stress? Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. A lot of people live with super amounts of stress. That wears down your bodies, and you can get sick too, right? Why don't we put our trust in the Lord instead? So how do we get out of this if we have sin or sickness or anger or grievances in our hearts? It says in Proverbs 16, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Pleasant words, that's what you need. And you know what your pleasant word that you need for your body? The gospel. That God sent his son to be your savior, that God has come to heal all your iniquities, all your sins, to take them away, to heal your body, and that he forgives you, and that he loves you, and that he's going to provide for you, and that he wants you to put your trust in him. And when you do these things and cast your anxieties on the Lord, for he cares about you, it heals your insides, which is likely to heal your outsides as well, your body. But you know what? Even if you did everything perfect in your life, in your soul, in your spirit, and you're just like, you know, Joe Christian perfect, okay, you might still get sick. Job did everything perfect, and he still got sick. Timothy did things well, and yet he still got sick, not because he sinned. Paul had a bodily ailment, he says in Galatians, though it wasn't because he sinned. Sometimes in this life we get bodily ailments or accidents or injuries or sicknesses, not because we've done anything wrong or because we've sinned at all, it may be all well inside, but simply because we live in a fallen world. And sometimes sickness can be the result of sin in your life. But God's there to comfort you, to help you, to heal you, and to be with you in these things. Either way, isn't that wonderful? But you know what? God also tells us a lot in his word about being good stewards of our bodies in order to have healthy bodies. And there's another way. It's also through how we take care of our bodies on the outside. Is this possible? Does God tell us about these things? Well, let's look in Genesis 1 again. Let's see what he designed us for, okay? Are you designed? Are you created? Yes or no? Yes. If you're created, are you designed? If you're designed, are you designed for something? Yes. Is there a good use of that? Yes. That was a poor question, but yes. If you are designed, then you're designed for something special, a special way of living. And God tells us that in Genesis 1 about Adam. God said to Adam, Genesis 1:29, behold, I've given you every green plant yielding seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And he does the same for the beasts. How were we originally designed? For the plants of the field, for vegetables and fruits and things like that. And it wasn't until Genesis 9 that God gave us meat as well. And you can eat meat as well. But notice, we were originally designed for fruits, vegetables, and grains. Our teeth bear witness to that. We have teeth like cattle. You can look at our intestines. We're not like wolves, short intestines, carnivores. We are like cattle. We have very long intestines meant for digesting plant foods. You can just look at these things, how we're designed, and think, hey, there might be something in here for me to understand about my health. We got meats we can eat in Noah's day in Genesis 9, because I think personally the world was not as habitable. It wasn't as tropical and lush, so we got the animals to eat as well. And these are clean. You can eat them. In fact, all of them. But in the Old Testament, there were restrictions, right? Some animals you can eat are clean. Some animals you shouldn't eat. They're not clean. Now, those aren't restrictions anymore upon us, but guess what? If you look at the Old Testament and the things God wants you to eat animal-wise, they're healthier for you. And the things that are restricted in the Old Testament are not as healthy for you. So you're free to eat meat. You're free, in fact, in Christ, he declared all foods clean for you. And yet we also learn this, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. You know, we got a lot of junk food out there in the world today. You want to start shoving trash down your gullet, your health is probably going to suffer for it. You think? Amen? There's a Christian comedian. His name is Tim Hawkins, and he says it like this. He thinks it's funny. He says, I think it's funny how Christians sometimes pray to God to make up for their bad food choices. And he says it's like this. Lord, bless this food for the nourishment of our bodies. Lord, bless this bag of Cheetos and this jumbo Dr. Pepper, Lord, which we're about to receive. Somehow make it nourishing for us in some way. Lord, change the molecular structure of this food, this absolute trash we're about to shove into our gullets right now. Father, turn this Cheeto into a carrot stick on the way down. Lord, I know how you're going to do it, Lord. We're just trusting you now. Lord, set a hedge of protection around my pancreas, Lord. Intervene. You know, some of the things that we eat. Can I give you an example? Exhibit A. Bought this. A Happy Meal at McDonald's. Now, you can eat a Happy Meal. I'm not going to put down McDonald's. But I will say this. I bought this, and I have the receipt right in here. Right there. I bought this on October 12th this year. Here is your Happy Meal. Exhibit A, notice, on the bread, it's perfect. There's not one piece of mold can digest this. Here is the hamburger. 1 month, over a month old now, and it's perfect. There's not one piece of mold or anything on that or bacteria. Here we have the bread on the other side. By the way, no, maybe I won't eat that, but there's no mold or anything on these as well. The only thing I'm finding is that I'm still getting grease on my hands from these. Now, you can eat these, but I just want to say your body is having about perhaps as much chance of digesting these things well as it would digesting the little strawberry shortcake doll that comes with the Happy Meal. So I had a hamburger actually for 2 years like this in my garage, and it's only in the last couple of months, unfortunately, not fit for this. But it was a worm that got in there. But other than that, no mold has been able to touch these things for 2 years. I did it as an experiment just to show Naomi. And you can eat them, all right? But all things are lawful for you. Maybe not all things are helpful to you. Daniel, in our Old Testament reading today, was said, he was supposed to eat the king's rich food. He said, I don't want to eat the king's rich food. And the eunuch says, if you don't eat the king's rich food and you get weaker eating your vegetables, then the king's going to have my neck. Daniel says, okay, give us a test for 10 days. Let the other ones eat the rich foods. Let us eat vegetables. We'll see if we look healthy after 10 days. The eunuch is fine. After it says, after 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's rich food. So the steward took away their rich food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. God tells us right there in his holy word this little clue that they were healthier for the eating as such. And could he also be telling us something about that today? If I were to choose a denomination to be a part of, that it was apart from doctrine, I just wanted a healthy denomination, you know where I'd go? Seventh-day Adventists. Although there are brothers in Christ, I think they have a lot of great theology. They're brothers. But in terms of their eating habits, they follow the Bible as a denomination. And some of them are even vegetarian, but some eat meat. Their statistics have followed studies since 1954. People have followed them. And you know what the statistics, easy for me to say. The statistics are on Seventh-day Adventists is that they are 50% less likely to have heart disease than the average person. They're 50% less likely to have cancers, strokes, or diabetes if you're a Seventh-day Adventist and you're simply following the biblical guidelines for eating. If you are a man and you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you live an average of 8 years longer than the average man in the general population. If you're a woman, you live 7 years average longer than the average woman of our generation. And if you're a vegetarian and you follow that strictly, going back to Adam's way of eating, you live 11 years longer, says the study. So that's quite a lot of time you can spend serving the Lord if we seek to make healthier our bodies. And again, I'm going to tell you, the kingdom of God isn't food and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you can eat whatever you want. You're free to do it. But God has also given us some clues in here as to ways to eat that might make us healthier and stronger, because God obviously created us. He designed us, and he designed us to function in a certain kind of way. And if we look to Adam especially, we can see that. He was supposed to have good diet. He had exercise. He had sunshine. He had rest. And he was supposed to walk in trust, in intimacy with God, without great degrees of stress, trusting the Lord as he went, rejoicing. And I'll tell you, if you do these things, your body will get healthier. You may have some cancer right now. It may not get all the way better, or it very well may. Do you know that some people have laughed their way out of cancer? People who have had cancers have watched funny movies for a whole year, and without any medication or anything else, they've overcome these cancers. So God will help us. We're never going to be perfect. We're going to get sick. We're going to get injured. If you have cancer, that's all right. God is with you and is going to comfort and help and heal you in it. But I'm telling you right now, I love visiting you in the hospitals. I do. I really do. But boy, wouldn't you really rather I visited you in your home or visited you at church or just hung out with you somewhere else than in the hospital? So God, I want you healthy. God wants you healthy, and he's told us things that help to lead us to healthiness in our lives. And if you want more principles beyond the scope of this sermon, I can give you some things to research about that. But take an inventory this week, sometime, maybe today, and think, how might I research this and live a little more according to those things that make for health that God has told me in his holy word? And finally, how important is your body, really? I'll tell you how important it is. Jesus came, and he took on a body. The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Jesus had eyebrows. He had a tongue. Man, he even had nose hair, okay? I have to clip sometimes, but all right. He became flesh in every way like us. He healed our bodies when he was here, as well as our souls and spirits. When he died for our sins, he bore, Peter says, our sins in his body on the cross. It's his flesh that he gave for the life of the world. After in the grave for 3 days, he was raised bodily from the dead on the third day. And his life is at work in us now to renew our spirits, renew our minds, but he's also making healthier our bodies. And one day he's promised to raise up our bodies on the day of the resurrection, on the last day. For as Paul says, but our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. So you are, let's praise God, thank him, help each other, rejoice. And Paul says, you're not your own, you were bought with a price. God loves you, he owns you, he even owns your bodies and cares for them. You are not your own, you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand. And let's confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, found on page 9. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of us Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God from very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You may be seated. We thank thee, our God, and praise thy glorious name. All things come from thee, and of thy own have we given thee. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we've provided in this offering comes from thy hand and is all thy own. We have offered freely and joyously to thee. Keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of thy people, and direct our hearts toward thee. Let's pray together for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Oh God, you're the giver of every good gift. We thank you for sending down upon the earth sunshine and for rain and for good soil that the earth may bring forth in great abundance that we might live. Without your blessings in these ways, we would surely die. We thank you for these great gifts. We pray that we'd receive everything from your hand with thanksgiving and that you would help us to be healthy and well and whole, getting better even as our bodies age and we look forward to the resurrection on the last day. We thank you, Lord, for your great compassion and kindness to us. And help us to help one another, Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, your Son will soon return at a time when people don't expect. Grant all your baptized people to live holy lives in this age, in body, mind, and spirit, looking forward with eagerness to his joyous return and seeking only to be found in him on that glorious day. Lord, in your mercy. King of the nations, to you we commend our government, especially the upcoming presidential and other races, and all who are holding those positions even now. We pray for all you've placed in authority over us. We ask that you would guide them, bless them with wisdom, help them to have character, morality to not do wrong, and the character and integrity to stand up and do what is right, and uphold them in every good deed. Also, we honor on this Veterans Day weekend all of our veterans and those serving now. We thank you for their protection and service of our armed forces, and we ask you to continually bless them that we might live in peace, safety, and freedom. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, our dwelling place in all generations, into your merciful hands we commend all who suffer at this time, those who are ill, who suffer the effects of aging, those who are lonely and frightened, and those who are unjustly imprisoned, especially our Christian brothers around the world. Especially, we pray for those who are persecuted in your name and all who have desired our prayers, and for those who have no one to pray for them, we pray. We ask especially for Don Ehlersmeyer, Stephen Caputi, Jerry Doyle, Constance Fraley, Don Giroux, Joan Jalbert, Irene Lawrence, Iris Overby, Nancy Pratt, Rod Udd, Megan Atkins, Connie Jan Cohen, Dottie Duncan, Susan Fritz, Sue Gould, Linda Johnson, Ernie Ortenberg, Jan Pearson, Lucille Schmidt, Catherine Baker, Mary D'Abelair, Ron Fechteau, Amelia Gentry, Art Hansen, Ron and Ann Neupel, Liz Ott, Marge Pichelle, and Sherry Stefan. God, we know that you know these people's names. You knew them even before they were born, before the foundation of the world, and you care for them. We ask you, as your power stretches out to heal, that you would heal these, our brothers and sisters in the faith, and for those who need to know you, that they might be made strong on the inside in faith, hope, and love, and trust, and peace, and tranquility. And also, we pray for their outside, for their bodies and life situations, that you would heal and deliver them there as well. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord of life, your Son is the resurrection from the dead. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he gives us abundant life. We give thanks for everyone who's fallen asleep in faith in him, knowing that they live forevermore. Bring us to share with them the joys that you've prepared, and grant that on the last day, clothed in our resurrection bodies, we may join the heavenly hosts in singing your praises without end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these are our prayers and for all others in our hearts, Father, we pray, knowing that you're able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. So you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.